Well, hey everybody, it's Chuck. Welcome back. I don't have a whole B-Lab experiment we're gonna do today, but I have a whole lot of odds and ends, and I've even written a few things down that I wanna talk to you about things that have been going on, and we are gonna get into the apiary on the second half of this video, and I'm gonna try to keep it to a manageable length. I know some of you like the long videos, some of you like the shorter lesson videos, and some of you think I talk too fast, and some of you think I talk too much, so I don't know how to find the happy medium between that. The first thing I wanna talk about is UV light. On some of my mini mating nukes and also my other mating nukes, I've told you I put some UV paint on the boxes. And sorry for stepping away from the camera. I thought I had everything ready. But I bought a set of UV paints and they just kind of look like this. They're all sorts of colors. And we talked about this in a previous video, and I just put some designs on the different boxes. I bought a UV flashlight, which is like a black light flashlight, basically. So I'm truly not seeing in the UV spectrum, but this black light reflects things that are more visible in the UV spectrum as a way of thinking about it. Think about it as a reflector kind of a thing. And I also got a UV paint pen, which made me think about marking things, including queens, with some UV. Because, boy, I tell you what, finding a queen with a little bit of UV on her might be an interesting experiment. But I did come out pre-dawn one morning with this flashlight, and I shined the light on my mini mating nukes to kind of help me visualize what a honeybee might see with her eyes or his eyes for the drones when they're coming back to these nucleus colonies and or hives if you wanted to paint them out like that. It was a pretty enlightening experiment, and I'll show you a clip right here while I'm talking of what it looked like at night. I was just kind of moving the flashlight around, some of them directly and some of them indirectly, but it was pretty fun. So to be continued on the results of it, whether I notice a higher queen mating success rate, meaning like coming back to the hive, less drift. But that's just kind of to conclude that little experiment, and we'll talk more about that as the things come up. Something I'm not going to do today, but to tell you where my mind is going on Varroa resistance. Those of you that are managing your Varroa mites with mite checks and using oxalic acid strips or any of the other products out there that are meant to treat your mites, formic a little bit further up north, getting to Varroa-resistant bees is ultimately where we all kind of know that we need to get. And, are we even hurting the bees' ability to get there sooner with our treatments? Obviously, I don't think we could sustain our current agriculture if we let our bees die off too much. So there's a balance between treating and untreating. Corey Stevens, as many of you know, is kind of our current U.S. Varroa-resistant beekeeper that's raising queens. Randy Oliver out west with his bees, he's going for Varroa resistance, but more through empirical analysis. Corey is using the Harbo assay method, and an assay is a test to validate and score every single one of his queens, drones, and hives as a group by going in and essentially uncapping between 100 and possibly 200 emerging brood cells just before they emerge and actually looking for reproductive mites. Varroa-sensitive hygiene, as it's called now, essentially is the ability of bees to not necessarily eradicate mites, but stop them from reproducing, which I think is an important distinction to understand. Meaning, like, you can have mites in your hive, but as long as they don't have the ability to reproduce because the worker bees are uncapping and preventing that reproductive cycle in the cells that have mites, the mites will flatline, which is ultimately what we're doing with treatments now. There is an assay and a score sheet that Dr. Harbo has published. He was from the USDA years ago. He's got a little score sheet on how many mites, reproductive mites and unreproductive mites you can have in a colony. And you give it a score between 0, which is absolutely no traits of hygiene, and a 4, which is perfect, which is, absolutely no reproductive mites found. I've made a little laminated sheet like I like to do because I like to take my little markers and write on them and score. And when I get to a point of scoring my hives, I'm going to kind of use this. So my mind is going there. I'm not necessarily making a video about how to do the Harbo test or to score my queens and my hives. But there's a lot of information out there on that. And I would encourage you to Google Harbo, H-A-R-B-O. I think his website is Harbo Bee Co, H-A-R-B-O-B-E-E-C-O. and you get the score sheet. Corey Stevens and others have some great videos on doing some assays and testing like that. I will probably be doing that in the future. A couple other things I want to talk about. I'm making my first batch of cinnamon creamed honey. I did get a little bit of inspiration from Mike Berry. Mike, I don't know if you watch my videos, but shout out to you for kind of giving me the latest inspiration. There's a lot of creamed honeys out there. I make a dattle pepper, which is a very spicy hot pepper they grow down here in Florida. I do infuse my honey with some capsaicin from that pepper and make a spicy honey, but I've never made a creamed honey. So I've got a creamed honey batch going. I didn't make a video of that because it was my first one. I probably will make a video of my second batch after I kind of work through my process, a little bit of how I do it in small batches. I'm not selling this at market or anything like that, so I'm not making cases. I think I made like, you know, 6 cups of honey with the seed and I'm creaming it up. Any of you that make a lot of creamed honey, give me some comments below. And oh, by the way, while we're at it, like and subscribe to this channel if you like my blabbering about bees and discussing these topics. I feel like I have a lot to learn in certain items, and I know many of you watching these videos have probably made creamed honey for years. So right now I'm at the stage of letting the bubbles come up and kind of scraping the cinnamon kind of parts that aren't infused, like the barky parts of the cinnamon. And then I'll put it in the jars and let it sit. I don't have a beer refrigerator or a wine refrigerator, 57 degrees. So I'm going to have to decide whether just to leave it a little bit warmer or go all the way to the regular refrigerator temperatures. Appreciate any input on that from you guys too. Next is another kind of a cool idea you guys might like. You know, how many times have we had foundation that was waxed, but when we put it in the hive, the bees did a pretty good job, but then they ate the wax from the edges and kind of spin in the middle, but now they're not drawing out the edges. There's been a few videos out there about doing this, and it's another thing you can do with your beeswax, and it ties into my love for 3D printing. I downloaded and modified a little bit, but it's mostly the same thing. A mold, a candle mold, basically, is what this is, but it's a candle mold the width of a big fat crayon. And here's an example of one that has it. I haven't worn the tip off yet. It's a good size. It's my own beeswax. This is a two-part mold. I print both parts, and I put a little bit of tape around it, and I just pour some honey in there, and, you know, then this little piece kind of is in here. You stick it in the fridge and let it cool, and you kind of pop off a piece, and then you pop this out, and you got a nice big crayon. You know, a lot of people have done this with toilet paper rolls and things like that, and that'll work too. It'll be a little bit messier. You might need to use some parchment paper, but ultimately what you do with this crayon is you get some foundation, and I don't have a piece with me right now, but I'll use this board, and essentially you're like a crayon, you're re-waxing edges, and you can do this in the field. So you can have this in your pocket. You don't need to take that foundation out. If you're doing a hive inspection, you got some corners that need a little bit more wax, this is what this is for, waxing the corners. I've been meaning to do that for a long time, and I just decided to go for it and found that 3D mold versus, and I'll just save this and print them as I need them, which I think is kind of fun. Swarm basket. I cannot tell you guys how much I love this thing. And if you guys watched my demo video on how to make this, this was inspired by a video Randall Carter did a few years ago. I don't think he's making videos anymore. He called it the Scoop and Score, which I love that name. So we can call this the Scoop and Score just in support of him. Fred Dunn kind of made a few comments about it with Dirt Rooster and Mr. Ed. So Jeff and Randy on his recent video. And actually, Fred Dunn, I don't think you watch my videos, but you did comment on the last video where I mentioned you guys, and I appreciate you coming to my channel. I essentially 3D printed a cap that allows me to put my extension pole in here and screw it on. And you can put this on an extension pole. This is not a how-to video. Go watch that other video if you want to learn how to make this. The magic of the mesh is why this is better. And John Bo, if you're watching this video, I'm telling you, you said you liked your design better, but there is something to this wire mesh. They cling on to it. And I did a swarm capture on a fence post that was very low, where you wouldn't even normally need an extension pole. And in years past, I'd have tried to scrape them into the box or even shake them in the box. But what I did this time was with my scoop and score, I just held the basket right here and I just shook the fence and most of the bees went in. But I was able to just leave this on the fence on an extension pole, and they were clinging to the outside, they were clinging to the inside. The clinging to this wire mesh is the magic of this, not the shape and size and the strength of it. There's something to it, and I'm serious. I've got one picture of a swarm I did this week where I took a picture inside and outside, and I'll probably put that in this video while I'm talking about it. But the Scoop and Score wire mesh basket is magical. A few of you that watched that video said, hey, Chuck, I don't have a printer. Can you, sell me one of these caps? Listen, I'm not into this for the business. And those folks reached out to me and I printed one of these and they paid for the shipping and paid me a little bit extra just to make it worth my time to do. And I'm willing to do that for any of you that want this. This is essentially a cap that allows a 1-inch PVC to go into it. And then it's got a thread in the top here for screwing in your extension pole. If you want one too, go to my website, chuckshoneybees.com, and find my little contact form and fill out a form and it'll get in touch with me and we can come up with an arrangement. I think I'm selling them for basically cost plus shipping plus a little bit extra. I'm just trying to make sure I don't lose any money printing as a favor to folks. And that's all on the Scoop and Score. I love this thing. Other things, incubator. My queens. My last batch of queens didn't do so good. I only had like 5 hatch, and then I had a bunch that didn't hatch. I had a power outage where my incubator that was at 93 degrees went down to 76 degrees for about 3 hours, and then it came back up to 93. So my little temperature graph went down and back up, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen. But in hindsight, I think that temperature dip killed about half of my queens. Don't know if that was the case, but that was the only thing I could think of. A lot of them didn't hatch. A handful of them did, which means this is not a universal rule here. So I got like 4 or 5 out of like 15 or something like that hatched, and the rest of them just did not hatch. So incubator power supply is a pretty important thing during some critical stages of development. They were right at that stage just after the sensitive period when the power went out. So little update on that. I got another batch in there now and I haven't had any power failures and I try to keep them going, but a lot of my mini mating nukes are making their own queen cells because they don't have a cell, and I'll be putting cells in there, I believe, tomorrow on that one. And what we're gonna do today in the apiary, and this is probably kind of where I wanna wrap up on this. I've already had one failed demurray this year, and ultimately it went queenless, and they made their own queen, and I saw their made queen there today. She's still not laying eggs, but she's nice and plump, so I'm thinking she's mated, and I'll mark that, and that hive will be fine. Obviously, there was a brood break in there without a queen, so they're not going to swarm, but it was not the demurray mega honey hive I thought I was going to end up with. I did a second demurray on another hive, and we're going to go do that in the apiary here after a little bit. Today is day 7 after the demurray, and we're going to go in there and find those darn queen cells, because I think that's what I missed last time, was a few extra queen cells, and the hive just didn't kind of get that, hopelessly queenless feeling up top. So we're going to get in there, find those queen cells. I may even cut some of them out if they're on foundationless frames and put them in my MIDI mating nukes if they look like good queen cells. But we'll just kind of wrap up the lab session here today with this is going to go into the apiary. We'll play with some bees. Stick with me for that. Here in the middle of the video, click like and subscribe if you like this content. I'm just over 4,000 followers. It kind of helps the comments flow. I'd love to get above 5,000 because I think that's kind of a good curve on viewership to get the interaction of the people, especially if you're into beekeeping down here in the South. This channel is mostly for sharing knowledge on the beginning of the bee season. I know folks a little further north, you're living vicariously through us as we're already into our 4th round of grafts and things like that. So I know that helps me get motivated for the bee season is watching the beekeepers that are in South Florida that are ahead of me by even a few weeks. Okay, so stick with me today. Let's go into the apiary, check out that demurray split and see what else we find. You never know. Have a great day. We'll see you in a minute. All right, everybody. Welcome to the apiary. This is a demurray split I did on the 14th, and I wrote on here, check 321. Today's the 21st. This is the upper layer. Here's an excluder. Here's a super. There's an excluder and the brood chambers on the bottom. Now, last time I did this, and you're coming along with me for the first time, she was queenless in the bottom. So I'm going to go all the way to the bottom, make sure I got a queen, and that went well. I left a little bit more brood this time. Instead of just one frame of brood, I think I left like 2.5 frames of brood. But the most important thing is to check for the queen cells up top. Now, I may not cut the queen cells if I see them, meaning like kill them. I may use them over here in some hives. I got a bad batch of incubation last time. So we'll see what I end up doing with that. But let me bring one of my extra stands over here to set that upper deep on. Give me a good stand. But let's see what we got. I mean, I'm probably going to have to suit up here if this is strong or if they're not having a good morning. Well, that's good. Population of bees. Above an excluder, so she should not be up here, and there should be no evidence of eggs. I almost should go to the bottom first, because I want to make sure, because all the decisions I make are honestly going to be based on if I'm queenless or not. If, you know, if I got a queen down there and everything's working, then I'm going to continue with this demarray. Otherwise, yeah, I'm going to suit up. I'm getting bumped a few times. Not stung, but bumped. Hey, some of you have left me some feedback that I'm sniffling a lot on camera. I know. It's just smoke. So I'm trying something today. I'm putting the microphone a little bit further to the left over here. I don't know if you can hear me as well or not. So feedback on that. Apologize for the sniffles with the smoke. I don't know if it's an allergy or what, but okay, good. Just kind of transient in here. I'll just kind of give you a view. Oh, a couple glistening little cells of nectar in there. That's good. No honey accumulation yet. But glistening nectar in that center section between two queen excluders is a good thing. All right. This should be queen right. Ooh, I'm seeing nice frames of bees in here too. I left a few extra frames in an attempt to not screw up my second demarray. Oh, you guys are probably just laughing at me. Especially those of you that got more experience than me. I mean, I got experience. Man, there's some things I'm doing for the first time, like demarray. All right, making some room. Drawing out. This is good. I'm gonna get out of the way so these bees don't get annoyed with me. Nice drone brood frame. This is really good. I love it when they make fresh drone comb on my foundationless frames. Just beautiful. All right, so I think, and this is what I hate. See how they're not drawing this out very well? This isn't, ow. Yeah, she got me there. Might have to put gloves on. We'll see how they behave. So this is this needs to be a swarm trap frame. It's just not, yeah, I'm just looking for the queen. I'm gonna shake this off. Show you guys what I mean. See, this was an old frame. This needs to be in a swarm trap, but this is what they're doing. There's just not enough wax on here to make them draw it out naturally. Now, I did wax this, so this is not like it was unwaxed, but I could have done better on that. But you know what? Let me show you. These are the frames I'm going to be using. I'll set it over here. But these are the types of frames I was talking about with my crayon. Remember, so say there was a corner over here. You take this crayon and I can just put wax in the corners or whatever. This needs a lot more work. I'm gonna scrape all that off, maybe even re-wax the whole thing. But this is not a good example. And then look, my wax is going in my pocket here in case it happens again. I get in the right spot for you guys. If I see the queen, we're done. Eggs, larva, this is working. No swarm cells is what I'm looking for. I got pearlies in here. This is looking good. So I think we have a successful, it's queen right, in other words. Unlike last time, it was not queen right. Whew. Good look, man, that's capped. Eggs, larva, see this corner down here? And there's mama, my green little lady. She's looking in those cells. Where can I lay another one? I'm gonna put her in the cage instead of the side while I do a little, she's good, nice and healthy. Now, I'm gonna give this a shake. See what I mean, how they're not drawing this out. It's because they need more wax. That's what my crayon's for. And you know when you're a kid, how you used to take your coloring book and it was kind of like a game of how sharp you could make your crayon? I would try to keep a tip because to get in the corners, you need a little bit of a tip. I wouldn't kind of mash right on the front end. So that is exactly how I'm using my crayon. And boy, if that isn't a beautiful frame of brood. This little patch here is from my oxalic acid strip, but it's laid up full of eggs. All right, so now I am going to just count the frames of brood. Oh my gosh, is she just turning? Healthy, healthy, healthy. This is gonna be my Demaray success story, I think. Because when all this brood hatches out, eggs, eggs, eggs. Ah, I got some more corners I can do. Hey, we're probably gonna get to it, but I just wanna show you, adding more wax. Give them a little help. I just made this thing and I already love it. My crayon. Only because there's been so many times and I dread pulling out the wax melter and the roller just to do a little touch up. This is exactly what I needed. I recommend everybody have one. Now that looks almost like a freshly waxed frame there. Hardly used up any of my wax. I'm gonna turn that around though to encourage them to draw that out. Beautifully drawn out. I almost feel like I need to do a mite check here. I might do a mite check with you guys too. See, this has still got a lot of wax on it. So this is not, they're just starting on this one. No harm, no foul there. Woo, I ain't got some bees. This Demaray is working good. Now, I have a question of how many frames should I leave down here, right? I could continually pull some of this. I could take one of these capped ones and put it up top. But if I put a capped one up there again, I'm gonna have to come back and recheck my Demaray for queen cells in another 7 to 10 days, because I'm gonna find out. There's one frame, two frames, two, and she's laying this one up, but it's not capped. So we're okay right now. I got two frames of capped and some uncapped. We're in a good position there. Drop my smoker. I want the brood, I'm gonna put my drone brood on the edge. I might even put it on all the way on the outside edge. This is good. Another frame of my, I just heard myself sniffle. Did you guys hear that one? If you didn't hear it, then maybe this is working. Okay, good. Very, very happy with this Demaray. All right. This may be all we do in the apiary today after we go through the top, because this is getting kind of long. There's Mama opening up. I always make sure, and this is a green queen, so she's last year. She's fat. But if you're doing this with virgins or newly marked queens, they can fly right up. Put your eyeballs and make sure she goes in and below your queen excluder. Do not just shake a queen that could be flighty. I'm not saying don't shake a queen. You can shake a queen, but make sure you see her go down. If she's a young one, she could be flighty. And those flighty queens may not find their way back all the time, especially if they're newly mated. All right, super's going back on. I could put a second super on here. I do have one over there, but I'm until I start doing a little bit in here, I'm not gonna get overly concerned with that. The next thing to remember though is I need to keep an eye on the growth of this hive. So now I'm gonna put the second one on top and we're gonna work it from its position. There's gonna be a day where I can't lift that super up on a high point like this. Are any of you guys at that day yet where you can't lift deeps? I bet you some of my audience is. All right, you know, this frame right here has got my darn, that needs to be in the bottom. This is my temperature sensor. It needs to be down here on the brood, not way up here at the top, otherwise I'm not getting accurate readings. Okay, this is just drone comb. Now these bees up here, I just got a little sting on the top of my hand, could be a little pissy. This is the queenless section, right? Room to grow, they're not growing. I could squeeze this down into a single if I want, but I'm gonna continue to use this as my demarray. Still got uncapped brood. Guys, in that earlier section, if you're watching this all the way through, where I talked about the Harbo assay method, when you're looking for brood that is just emerging, this is what we're talking about, this dark stuff down here. Even this lighter stuff isn't quite emerging. This stuff down here is starting to get dark and be the emerging brood. I probably should be shaking these because I don't want to miss a queen cell. No queen cells. No queen cells. Still some more uncapping to do. Meaning they're hatching out. I'm not blocking you guys, I don't think. Sick. Look at there. There's one. Let's go ahead and give a shake so you guys can see a little bit better. There's a started one, so I'm going to go ahead and cut that down. That's a cup, nothing in it. This is capped. Now, capped on foundation is a little hard to get at. The reason it's hard to get at is because, remember, the egg was in one of these cells, which goes all the way down to the foundation. So even if I were to kind of cut this out, and I probably will try just to show you, I got to go all the way to the foundation. And remember, on the foundation side, there's going to be an open part of the cell because that's where this one started. But you can reclose it up as long as you don't damage the larva. So you can kind of draw a little line and try to, and then you can just scrape it. You can even use a little bit smaller tool so you can get in there and see if you can get it out without damaging the cell. Now, let's see how I did. I don't know if this is working or not to show you, but this is all squished wax. I kind of closed the cell up on its own. I was gonna show you the open cell, but it kind of got squished here, so this may work. Now, I need to kind of take the timing off of the lid to know when this was a 3.5 day old cell, but you could take this cell if you think you didn't damage anything and put it into a hive and see if it'll hatch out. You know, hey, if you need queen cells, you need queen cells. I got some in the incubator, so I really don't need these. This is just a cup. This is just a cup. And this is just a cup. So that was all, just one queen cell on that frame. Trying to not block you guys that like to watch the bees. I don't see any queen cells on that one. We'll do a shake just to check. Oh, look at that. See how the shake is so important? I even told you guys, I don't see a queen cell. And look at that big juicy ripe cell down there. Ripe meaning it's fully capped. It may not be ripe, getting ready to hatch. See if I can do the same thing all the way to the foundation and scrape the bottom. See how that one came out. See if I got an open cell on the back. Kind of squished that one closed too. So in my scraping, I'm kind of closing off the cell. Maybe another good one. Give them something to work on there with that wax damage I did. So I really want to put this in the bottom, but I'm not going to do it today on video because I don't want to take the whole hive apart with you guys watching again. Waste your time doing that. Lots of hatching to do, go on up here. This is the army that's going to be here for the honey. And we're in a minor flow now. All right, so there's one Nothing there. That's a cup. Emerging brood, though. Emerging brood. See the little ladies coming out? This is hatching today. Happy birthday. Next. First glance, didn't see any. The shake. Obvious hatch out here, though. See that big hatch out? Some larvae on the edge that still aren't even capped. So a lot of work to be done here. I'm a little surprised I didn't see any cells on that one with the larva. Ooh, right between the fingers. Didn't see that one coming. Drone brood frame. Oh gosh, look at this one. Kind of a, might have even broke some of these down. Kind of a lot going on here. Decided to put some drone brood up in there before we moved it up. But look over on this side. Looks like they started one here, broke it down. This is another cup, didn't get finished, or they tore it down. And then there's two here that are pretty well hidden. This one's definitely hidden. That one's all the way up on the top. So I'm just gonna break that one down. It's too hard to get at. There's the larval stage, so you can see big, fat, juicy queen larva there. Lots of royal jelly down in there. I don't have my, well, I do have my royal. You can kind of pull royal jelly out like this too, but they'll eat that. I don't have any place to put it right now. I could try to pull this one off too, but see how flat this one is? That's not quite the same as those other ones I was pulling off. There's the side, oh wow. You even got a, look at this, beautiful. I pulled it off just right to see the shape and development stage of the pupa. You know how I've shown you guys a few times how the larva can drop down in a cell? This is how she needs to be when she's finishing up. Head down so she can chew herself out. This is a beautiful example of the pupal format stage that these queen cells were in on this demarae. If I hadn't cut these out today, this little lady would have been hatching probably in about 3 or 4 days, maybe even less. I'm gonna pull her out now and let you kind of get, she does not have purple eyes yet. She's perfectly white. No purple eyes, no eye formation yet, but she has got all the shape of a beautiful developing queen. Glad we showed that. Wow. God, see, you know, when you start making these videos, you just never know what you're gonna see. That's what nature's all about. Learning as you go. These strips are about done. You guys sometimes ask me, when do you take your strips out? This has still got some oxalic acid in it. You can sort of feel it. But when they start to get chewed up like that, they're mostly done. A couple cups here. This would have been a good one if they had cells on to cut them off because it's foundationless. This is just a honey frame now if they decide to put honey up in here. So that's it. We got our queen cells out. Definitely had some juicy ones in there that would have been swarm candidates in a few days. Found the queen in the bottom. Double checked there were no queen cells down there. This needs to be down a little bit lower. I'm gonna show you guys that another day. And this will turn into honey. If I come back in a week or something and all of this brood is hatched out, I have a decision to make about whether or not to rotate some of the brood down on the bottom up top to keep this demarae cycle going. But if the flow is on and I think the threat of swarming is gone, it's just gonna be about adding supers and deciding if I wanna leave this deep up in here, if I want honey in this deep, or if I wanna take this off and just add supers all the way up. That'll be a decision to make depending on how strong this hive gets. If it gets super duper strong, I'm gonna have a decision to make. And if any of you've done this demarae before, let me know about keeping this deep on top. If you don't really like getting honey in your supers and extracting out of this, I'd like to know some input on that. So yeah, let's end it there just so these videos didn't get too long. I'm gonna go check some queens. I'm gonna go make sure all these are mated. And I sold a couple of queens this morning to a follower, Rob. Hey, it was great meeting you today down in Keystone. Hey, Chuck Cook, Chuck's Honey Beast. Check me out. Like, subscribe if you want me to keep doing this content. It helps the algorithm help other people find me. And we'll see you next time. Have a great day, everybody. Happy beekeeping.